What do we think about the song I just played?
That song was really cool, actually. It's like a car. I mean, it's a car. It's a song that you can get into a car to and drive down the interstate at 7 o'clock in the evening or 8 o'clock in the evening as the sun goes down. It's one of those vibes. Or along the beach coastline.
Yeah.
Driving in a car.
Okay, I'll take it. Meg, what were your thoughts on the song I just played?
You know that I'm not a big music person. Every time that y'all are talking about stuff, I never really get included in that.
Yeah.
But that song did go on my playlist, so... 10 out of 10, I suppose.
10 out of 10?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Pretty good on Meg's scale.
That was.
To catch everyone up, Bradley Hartzell is on the podcast today.
Bradley was awesome.
And
Bradley was cool.
You like Bradley.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
He's a great guy. The first time that like I was like, oh, Bradley's going to be pretty cool was when, I don't know, was I interviewing for Bonner? One of the first times we started talking about music, I mean, a lot of the same music, like he brings up Radiohead and Modest Mouse. Float On, good song. Peyton listened to it a little bit.
Yes, I did.
And then I went to a concert with a friend. I went and saw The Wallflowers. Have you guys heard of them before?
No.
They sing the song One Headlight.
Whoa.
Bob Dylan's son is the main singer.
Ooh, Jake that's Dylan. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know
and
that.
And I was waiting outside for the car to pull up, and I was waiting next to Bradley.
We were
at the same concert? And his parents were there too. Sorry, one weird fun fact that I didn't tell Bradley when he was on the episode that we're talking about now. But the song that I sent Bradley like a week or two ago and was like, let me know if you like this. I just played for those two and it's called Televised by the band Honey. And
I liked it. It was good.
A dear friend of mine sent me that song and I love it greatly.
It's a groovy song. I like it.
It is groovy.
Ryan, it looks like you're kind of in the Oktoberfest. You look like you're pumped, but we're only at... What's today's date?
Today's September 5th.
September 5th. We still got another month left, buddy. Mr. Ryan over here's got this. It's the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown t-shirt on, which I absolutely love.
I was about to interrupt you and say, didn't you say that you were obsessed with that when you walked in?
As soon as I walked in, Peyton was like, where do I get me one of those?
Are you like the Grinch or something where you can't let people enjoy it?
No.
Your turn.
No, I'm not the Grinch, Meg. I had to cut her off because she's thinking I was the Grinch. I'm not the Grinch. I just love Halloween. And yes, I did compliment your shirt when you came in here. But
and then you get on the mic and you tell me I shouldn't be wearing it.
You shouldn't be wearing it. You know what I'm saying? Ain't that kind of like a
side paint?
What do they call that?
Heck, struggle. Do you want me to wear the Halloween shirt?
Or and do you want to do it? You're not. You
Here's
know
the
I'm
thing.
Saying?
I really love It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
I do too. You know what I need?
What do you need?
I need somebody to go shopping with me. I have to go get fall decorations.
Okay.
For our place. Because you came in and said,
I did.
I was actually very surprised.
I went into Peyton's apartment the other day. I'm Peyton's RA. We've talked about this.
Yeah.
And I had to go in there the other day, and it was the cleanest apartment I've ever been in.
Oh, yeah.
Meg, you wouldn't believe it.
Mr. P keeps it clean.
I really wouldn't believe it.
You wouldn't.
I'm also an RA, so I've been into a couple rooms, and I certainly would not believe that.
Yeah.
Just in general.
Just the vibe of is that your foot, Peyton? Okay, cool.
It's not mine.
I didn't know what's happening. Just the vibe of like being a resident advisor and having to walk into someone's living space. I'm not a big fan of it.
Nor am I.
That's your personal space. I have to be in there for safety reasons sometimes, but some of those rooms they're just kind of odd.
Just very odd.
Yeah. Meg, have you seen anything weird in a room? Like
I've only been into one.
Okay.
And it wasn't weird. And it was just because I think something having to do with the Wi-Fi, it needed to be plugged and unplugged.
Yeah.
And we try not to go into rooms alone. So I was just the second person.
Yeah. Okay.
To go into a room.
This is your first year.
But exposed. Fire drills are tonight. So I got to go into a lot of rooms.
Yeah. Stay tuned, everybody. Fire
Stay
drills
tuned.
Are tonight.
I'll let you know.
Oh, the last time I did fire drills, I was with
not
Sarah Moore, who's been on here.
I'm sure.
Yeah, not for us. I was with Sarah Moore. And we went into a room that had... the biggest television screen I've ever seen. I'm
I
talking
know
like
exactly whose it is. I'm
80 plus
sure.
inches last year. And I was like, this is crazy. It was on a rolling cart that had like six wheels on
I
it.
I know exactly whose TV that is.
Okay.
And it is the largest TV I've ever
seen. It was so big. And I was like, this is really unnecessary for a freshman dorm room. This Jumbotron that is
Jumbotron.
Like you would have to turn the brightness all the way down just to be able to watch something, right?
Probably.
So you don't burn your retinas.
Yeah. Say that again.
Retinas.
I like that.
Retinas. I thought it was retina. You know, I mean, that's what I want.
You
want to
be the eye doctor.
I
want to
be the eye doctor. So it would probably burn it. I mean, honestly. Huh? That makes me mean. Stop, please. Thank you. I'm giving Meg a hard time today. Like normal. But
you two give each other a hard time.
We do. I think it's funny.
You two give me a hard time having to watch. the silent dialogue that happens between you two while we're interviewing people. Peyton always takes Meg's Dr. Pepper. What's up with that, Peyton? Can we talk about it?
Because I get jealous because I want a Diet Dr. Pepper, and all I got is some quality H2O. So, yeah, I just try to get
today. Peyton is drinking great value, purified drinking water.
He doesn't just take the Dr. Pepper. Every time I have anything in front of me, I walked in, sat down, he took my phone, picked it up, and just moved it 3 inches over. And I have no idea. Everything that is mine, like, he touches my computer.
He does. We talked about that.
That is so cool.
But Meg doesn't like the finger smudges on it. We've talked about this.
Buy one then.
Oh.
I need to. That would be so cool. I should. Yeah. I could buy a touchscreen laptop like hers. It's pretty cool.
Well, cool.
But yeah, we've, how's y'all's day been, actually? You know, like, you had a good day today? It was hot.
Yeah, it was very hot.
I gave a tour today. The people absolutely love me. I think they love the campus.
Good.
It was fun. I enjoy doing that. It was fun. But it's like, it was like 86, 87 degrees.
Yesterday was Labor Day.
Did y'all do anything for Labor Day, actually?
I went home for a wedding that happened on.
My friend actually went home. He went to Nashville for a wedding, too.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I guess past weekend was wedding weekend.
I mean, it's a 3-day weekend. You know who we haven't talked about yet? The passing of Jimmy Buffett.
That was crazy. Did you watch? I don't know if you are into college football or not, but if you watched some of the clips, yes,
yeah,
they at stadiums they had were playing his music, and the whole fan base was singing.
Turned on Game Day the other day, and they were singing Margaritaville, and I was like, it kind of hit of like it was like, oh, you know, Jim Buffett passed away. It's kind of sad, and then there was a bunch of college football, like some of the first games, people were very very hype, and then Sunday hit, and people remembered that.
Yeah.
I hope he found his lost shaker of salt, don't you?
I do too. I enjoyed Jimmy. It was fun. Every time we go to the beach, you got to throw Jimmy Buffett on.
I should have asked Bradley about this because I'm sort of in this mindset too of that Jimmy started this, is one of the first people in our recent time of human existence to create a new genre of music. We've got like country and like Western and jazz and pop and all that stuff, but just this island music that he's come up with is crazy to think about.
Yeah, it's cool, and people absolutely love it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, honestly, and he built his chain, Margaritaville chain.
What's your favorite Jimmy Buffett song? Putting you on the spot.
That's a good one. I don't really know that many, actually, if you want me to be honest.
I knew I was going to get you.
Yeah, he got me.
Meg, do you like Jimmy Buffett? Or is this one of those things that you were like, this is a thing that Ryan and Peyton talk about that I don't
get? This is a thing that Ryan and Peyton talk about. And
it's just a Ryan thing now because he doesn't.
Maybe just Ryan, because I think that I couldn't name a single other one other than Margaritaville or the 5 o'clock somewhere. Whatever.
Yeah.
The song's not even called Margaritaville, correct?
It is. No, it is.
I mean, Knee Deep is a good
one. Knee Deep is good. If I had to give you all. He's on it.
Oh.
If I had to give you guys two songs to listen to, it would be A Pirate Looks at 40.
Okay.
Listen to that one. Okay. Make eye contact. You have to listen to the song. I love it. Okay. Jack Johnson, if you know who that is, he does a cover of it. He sang all the music for the Curious George movie. Oh, yeah. He does a cover of it. Peyton's yawning. I'm boring him. And the other one that I like is
he's tired.
Changes in Latitude, Changes in Attitude. That's a good one.
I'll have to listen
Come
to
Monday.
Both of those.
That's a good song. Well, this podcast isn't about Jimmy Buffett, unfortunately.
Can I ask you one question before we go? How excited are you about tomorrow?
I'm very excited for the town hall that we talked about, Carly Sullins.
Because I went today and all the tables are set up. And
yay!
The tablecloths aren't on, so it doesn't look that great. But
can you tell she's a perfectionist, people?
I'm going to be in there for about 6 hours tomorrow before the town hall starts. I'm not joking. As soon as I get out of class,
I'm
going
there. Committed. Okay.
Because if that balloon arch comes in, it didn't come in today, which I was really hoping. It's like a 400 balloon arch that I had to put together. I was really hoping to be able to get that done today, but Amazon did not deliver it today.
So if you're looking for balloons and more, contact Meg.
Contact
Studio B.
Meg. I've built a lot of balloon arches, but the fact that I have to build one in that little time, it takes a very long time to do it.
Well, if you need help, we have a lot of people. Peyton, you look like you want to help, right?
I'll be sending out some messages to get some people to come help me. I also need somebody a lot taller than me to help me put it up.
Well, I'm not your go-to guy. So if you need somebody,
how tall are you? People don't listen.
Am I?
Yeah.
Be
real.
Oh yeah, be real. Oh, is it be real time?
It's time for you to
just
be
kidding.
Real.
It is gonna be real. I would honestly just say 5'7" is a good height for me. I think 5'8" is pushing it. So 5'7".
Okay,
is
I'm 5'6". That's my like.
All right. Okay, so we're all like around the same.
We're within an inch of each other.
We're a bunch of Smurfs.
5'5 is Meg. 5'6 is Ryan. 5'7 is Peyton.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the good height.
Do you know who's a tall person? Bradley Hartzell.
Bradley Hartzell. And
here's his interview. What's up?
It's time for his interview.
It is time. Here we go.
Hey, welcome to Studio B, the Emory and Henry College Bonner Scholar podcast. Join Ryan and Peyton as they discuss themes of place, community, and common ground.
This is Studio B.
Bradley Hartzell, welcome to Studio B.
Hello. Hello.
I never thought we'd say that, Peyton.
I know. Oh my God. We have Bradley on the podcast. Ain't that so cool?
Bradley's like awesome. He's like our advisor.
Yeah, he's our advisor. I mean, he runs the show. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Bradley, if you can't already tell, Peyton and I are just stoked to have you on today. Before we get into some of the questions that we have, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, about your journey pre Emory and Henry slash like advisor to Bonner, and kind of set the scene for some of the questions we're going to be asking.
Yeah, for sure. So I am from this area originally, went and got my bachelor's and master's at ETSU in Johnson City. So after I graduated, at the end of 2017, I was on the job hunt, there was a position open at Emory and Henry. And growing up around here, of course, I had heard of Emory and Henry my whole life, but couldn't tell you much about it. I jumped on the position, which was much different than what I am now. But that was 2018, and I've been here ever since. And so the job that I was hired to do and had been doing for several years was e-portfolio stuff. But in 2019, Tal Stanley, actually, some things were shuffling around and he wanted to bring me in as the Bonner coordinator. And I didn't know much about Bonner, but I was like, sure, let's give it a try. And so, you know, 4 years later, here I am.
That's so cool.
I'm glad he mentioned Tal. I mean, Tal's been on here.
Yeah,
actually. I think he was like one of our first.
He was the first.
First Peyton. Episode that we actually had. He's been a big influence on my life. So it's really cool that he had mentioned Tal. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Bradley, what did you study in college? Like, what were your...
Yeah.
You kind of have an interesting path of like you study this, and then I know you were like a music journalist, right? It was that
journalist.
Ryan opened that can of worms.
That's pretty cool.
Tell us a little bit about that. That'd be great.
Sure. So I'll tell you what, man. In high school, I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I just was naturally good, it seemed, in my English classes. So I just carried that into going to college. So I studied English, was wanting to be a writer. I didn't think I wanted to be a teacher. I'm surprised that I'm doing this now, all these years later. But I definitely wanted to kind of hone my craft as a writer, so I thought. And so I got my undergrad in English, was doing music criticism on the side. There was a couple of sites, both now defunct, you know. But I was writing, and it was I was writing album reviews. And then after a couple of years, I was the editor, so I was editing music reviews from like a dozen staff or more. Then my actual job after I graduated was a newspaper reporter in Georgia, in Noonan, just a little south of Atlanta. And so I did that for a couple of years, and then ended up moving back, going to ETSU to get my master's in English. And so now here I am.
Okay, I'm glad that you mentioned music, Ryan. I love, absolutely love music and all different types of music. Bradley, like, that is pretty cool about you going through like the music thing. I'm big on music. Is there like music right now that you're like in tune with? Like what's the type of music that you're go to that you love like to listen to? That might be a hard question, but
no, it's a great question. I love it. So I can take you back. Like, I got like middle school, early high school, I just got turned into such a music nerd, man. I was listening to all kinds of different like weird indie rock, you know. I was naming stuff that nobody had heard of, and you know, of course I thought it was so cool, you know. But yeah, a lot of indie rock stuff, growing up on like Modest Mouse, Radiohead, the Pixies, bands like that. And really stuck with that for a number of years. But just in the last 2 or 3 years, I've really, really gotten turned on to some jazz, some ambient music. But the biggest thing has been hip hop and R&B. And I started getting excited because I felt like I had been down that road with indie rock. I had known all that stuff for years. And so here was this new thing. And so I was kind of geeking out on, you know, all these like hip hop, like Touchstones and all the indie underground sort of acts. And I just carry that excitement into my class. So that's what I teach now in Core 100. I have a hip hop based class. So my love of music is still like coming up, and I guess in different ways than when I was in high school, which is cool. So I can always, be tapping into some new stuff.
Okay, that is actually really cool. I mean, I had to ask the music question because, I mean, I've karaoke'd here at the Global Street Fair a couple times. It's so fun. I enjoy, like, performing and doing stuff like that. And I looked at Ryan. I was like, I have to ask a question about music, what type of music you listen to. I think I'm a big genre guy.
We touch on this a lot here before we interview people. It's just what kind of music is kind of the soundtrack to your life?
Yeah, like a connection. It connects to your life.
Yeah. And especially, I think somebody's playlist can tell you a lot about them.
Yeah, about them. Yeah. Exactly.
All the things he just named, like Radiohead and Modest Mouse.
Yeah, you got kind of like excited.
I love those two bands. I think that's why Bradley and I get along pretty well. It kind of makes us who we are. And Bradley, you have such a diversified portfolio of in your career and also in your music. But how does that play into Bonner? Do you think we have so many different projects that have so many different things going on that you're kind of at the steering wheel of? How does all of this come together?
Oh, that's a great question. I guess subconsciously, I have really been a big proponent of. There's this author a few years ago now, that put out this book called Range. It's by David Epstein, and he talks about. You know, our culture now really is about specialization. Like, and maybe understandably so, parents want to start their kids doing that special skill, you know, tuba, baseball, whatever, as young as possible, and make them specialize as quick as possible. And Epstein writes about this idea about specializing, that there's data to back up that. The kind of jack of all trades or people that are kind of like late bloomers tend to succeed more often throughout their lives. And that can take the forms of being promoted more often, making a higher salary, or just have more opportunities either in their personal life or, you know, in their community. And so I really tap into that and into my classes. Because, you know, we do kind of focus on specialization, especially as, you know, our college has done more with student athletes. So there's, you know, lots of people coming into my class that, you know, have been doing a sport or a trade or, you know, some hobby for like as long as they can remember. So we talk a lot about that. And I think that kind of diversity in skill sets, diversity in backgrounds and perspectives really plays out in Bonner because it's a diverse student body in our program. And I think that we have such a big difference to make in Bonner in such a short amount of time. If you take things in like semester chunks, you know, 3 months at a time, it's hard to really see that difference and that impact it made. But I think what makes us so effective as a program is that we are bringing in students collaborating from all kinds of different skill sets, all kinds of different backgrounds. And it's sort of a, I kind of say it, like it's our superpower in Bonner is being able to tap into diversity. You know, the thing that I always tell Bonners during the that interview process is that this idea that I also take from Epstein's book, Range, is that everybody around your table looks like you, thinks like you, talks like you. You all have the same strengths, but you also have the same weaknesses. And, you know, life is full of complex situations. Bonner, we see that every day going into underserved areas where there are complex hurdles all around. And so how can we attack that most effectively? And that's having that blend of skill sets and perspectives and backgrounds. And I think it makes us as effective as we are, I believe.
What a good answer.
It kind of goes back to somewhat, kind of in my class with Scott, we've been talking about community and what makes up a community. Well, that is a community, and it's like strong and like coming up with like, I guess that civic imagination, like the civic work is like all ties into that community. And we're all a community here. And I think it's really cool, like what Emory brings to the table, which is that diverse community, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it's built on a community. I wrote about this in my Bonner reflection the other night. I turned it in on time. And just that, like, the three of us, we are our own community, and then we play into our cohort. I almost had it, guys. I almost said cohort correctly. Cohort, which is a community in itself.
Yeah, exactly.
And then just the larger Bonner community. And then I don't know if you all have had this experience, I know Meg and I have, but on sophomore exchange and seeing that larger community. And then Amelia and I and some other Bonners went to the Bonner Summer Leadership Institute, which is this giant community of all of these schools that come together. And just that we have like this one sort of like idea of civic engagement, but we're doing it through all these different projects just amazes me. Even today, 3 years into this podcast, of how this is all connected. Bradley, I've got a question that you might have heard before if you're an avid listener to Studio B. But is there a moment that in your work, in your role here, that you've realized that this is the work that you're supposed to be doing, that the civic engagement and that sort of being the coordinator for all of this is something that you were meant to do?
I love this question. And I think about it in different ways, but I think about it pretty often. Is so I was hired to do that software, the ePortfolio program. And it was a sort of an odd sensation because, if you don't mind my saying, I was really good at it, but it was only me. So I was very like siloed off. And so I knew the ins and outs of the program. But it was kind of like, there were times where it felt like, okay, so what's next? You know, basically I was just trying to get it plugged into different programs, different professors, but it didn't really reverberate in the kind of way that I was anticipating. And then so Tal in 2019 asked me to take on the Bonner position. And like I said, I didn't know anything about it. So I spent that summer getting a crash course. In New Jersey, actually, there was a new leaders program. So I came to that and got the crash course in Bonner. And there was a lot of learning. It was a steep learning curve. And then, you know, just a few months later, there was COVID. So it there was no like Bonner as usual that I could plug myself into. But I really think since we've been back in the last year and a half, I have really started to, it has mattered to me in a real way. It's a whole lot different kind of work than the portfolio work was. And I can't say with the same confidence that I'm great at all the components to Bonner as I was with the portfolio, but I get so much more out of Bonner to see students who were, you know, my first class that I interviewed and, you know, offered the scholarship to and brought in. Now these are seniors, and you see all, I see all the great things that they have accomplished in these years, all the stuff, especially with COVID, that, you know, hurdles that they overcame. They've done great work. They've made real impacts in the community. And I'm like this close to seeing them graduate and go on to do great things. And that, to be able to have the interface, the conversations that I do on a daily basis with Bonners, even when it's work that kind of leaves you tired at the end of the day, lots of problem solving, lots of kind of, you know, open door policy. You get to the end of the day and you're like, man, it's almost like going to the gym and getting a good workout and you're sore, but it's like a good kind of sore. And I feel like that way with Bonner. I can't believe the good work that these young people are doing, and they do it every day. So it was one aha moment, but it's just gradual. Like I said, the last year and a half was like, oh, this is meaningful to me in a real way. Just as a quick side to that, I'm now a part of several different community or committees, both on campus and in my hometown, or my new adopted hometown of Bristol. And that's work, that quote unquote extra work that I wouldn't have thought to take on back when I was, first hired on and everything was just portfolio stuff. But Bonner has changed the way that I live, you know, my personal life. I'm like, oh yeah, I'll join this committee because, you know, having outreach in downtown Bristol where I live, that matters. And Bonner was the thing that changed my mind on that.
What an answer.
That was, I didn't expect you to actually.
I didn't either. Yeah. Most people are like, oh, this one time when someone gave me a note that said, good job. But no, that was a really great way to put it, how you kind of tied all these things together.
That was like a lot deeper than what we were.
Yeah. Cool. No, you kind of.
I think the most crazy or most coolest thing, like if I would say, would be like being able to like make change in like somebody's life is the coolest thing ever. You know, maybe one moment like deters them from, you know.
Yeah, and just cool watching moment. It too, I think, is a really cool experience. Thing. It's very inspiring.
It's cool.
Bradley, like I've got one last question before we go.
Sure.
Did you or did you not like the song that I sent you before the All Bonner meeting? The song is televised by a band called Honey. I would like your professional opinion on it as a music journalist.
Yeah, as a music journalist. I liked it. Like I told you, the other night, I'm in this like discovery period where I'm like, I'm wanting to like take on new stuff and I can kind of go through my playlist or, you know, my, whatever and seeing like, I don't want to listen to that. That's old. I don't want to listen to that, you know? And so I'm like, need some new stuff. And you came at me right at a perfect time. Nice little chill vibe. I could see me and my wife doing that on a road trip, you know, just kind of jamming out to it. So it was a good suggestion.
I'll take it, Peyton. I
need to know what it is.
We'll do it in the pre-cap. How about we listen to it?
Let's do it. I think that would be really cool.
Well, Bradley, thank you so much for sitting down with us today. It's always been like a, oh, when are we going to have Bradley on? Because he's like,
I was excited. I had mentioned that to him when we had the wild card.
Yeah. Last week's meeting.
Yeah. That was cool. I think that's when it was raining, right?
It was. It was raining. Pouring. Yeah, it was pouring. Cool. Well, Bradley, thank you so much for being on. We're happy to have you and to have this conversation.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. It's great catching up with you on this side of the mic. Thank you.
Of course.
Studio B is part of the Emory and Henry College Bonner Scholar Program through the Appalachian Center for Civic Life. Studio B is produced by Meg Askew and edited by Ryan Vaughn. To listen to past episodes, go to anchor.fm/ehstudioB or wherever you listen to podcasts.